The Return of the Orange Virgin by Rob Hunter. Chapter 28 on the Downtown Local. It seemed too easy. Linda's captor had hustled her into a service elevator and hence to the main floor, where he propelled her across the lobby.
"You're letting me go? For a while there, I thought I'd be stuck here with you till the end of time."
"Hush, hush, hush. Speak no ill of what you cannot understand."
"I understand that you and your confederates are a bunch of certifiable nuts."
"Yesterday's dingy dungeon, today's five-star hotel."
"With doorman service."
The rider on the storm swept his hand across a burgeoning belly to give a flip to the braided gold cords that hung from his epaulets.
"I have decided you are of no further use to me. Don't take it personally. It's a godhead thingy. Have a nice day."
He shoved her out into the street.
A moment later, the revolving door swung open again as he pushed her bean totes through with his foot.
Linda stood outside the hotel taft. It must be almost freezing out, she thought. The thought of reclining in a hot tub with a Kahlua and brandy close to hand gave her the strength to carry on. Linda bent double from a searing pain behind her eyes.
"Whoa! Hey, this is going to be one hell of a migraine."
As the heavy brass and glass door snicked shut behind her, she turned to give her captor one last look. A nondescript everyman smiled and waved reassuringly from the security station. He was now wearing the familiar tattered blue of the building's rent-a-cops. All would be well. She just had to get home. The cold blast of wet air in the street came as a relief. Her sweater was starting to itch through her cotton sleeves. Her rolled umbrella, trendy with a shoulder strap, was slipping. Linda opened it and held it against the sleet, rain, and now snow mixture. A barbered, manicured, red-faced man in a camel's hair coat beat her out for a cab. As the door slammed, he looked sleekly regretful. Linda felt the sweat trickling down from her armpits. She decided on the Downtown Local. As she charged on underground, the saturated humidity hit her. She assumed a crouch for the run to the turnstiles. Catatonic passengers whizzed past through the station, their noses flattened out against the glass, coats and scarves and bags caught between doors the conductor didn't bother opening. The subway never inspired fear before, loathing, disgust, but never fear. Now it did. That close, breathing one another's cast-off air, riding the train was a communion beyond intimacy. Crammed butt to butt and always someone copping a feel and you can never tell who it is. Linda positioned her token over the slot and slapped it through a residue of chewing gum with the flat of her palm and advanced, sliding her stuffed totes over the turret with its three metal bars. There was a comforting clunk as she hit the pipe with her hip. Better get a move on. The next bar popped into place, pushing her through. The machine had found her offering acceptable. She reached the concourse. Her mouth was dry, dry. This was like exercise in a rubber suit. Oh, shit. Her bra strap had just given up the ghost, its elastic sodden and limp. For this day's work, Tom had better take her out for one last dinner, not the usual boil-in-a-bag frozen gourmet treats. An uptown shoe-op group shuffled and bopped at the far end of the platform. Downtown locals run all night, doo-dah, doo-dah. Linda fumbled in her coat and came up with a $5 bill to drop in their basket. Whatever else the crazy guy was, he hadn't picked her pocket. Next, the ramps. Down 3 stories to the trains and right on time. I can make it, thought Linda. Hold the doors! Hold the doors! Linda ran as fast as her skirt would allow. Legs pumping, teeth clenched, she impacted the wall of cramped commuters already on board. Oh, she looked around defiantly, claiming her space. The door slid shut with a pneumatic whoosh that caught her bag outside as the train started to move. One quick, hard jerk, and the bag was free and inside. The door's floppy safety edges met, the caress of rubber lips on her thigh. Make something of that. The headache was now a pressure of remembered pain. Sort of the touch, if she could touch that place deep behind her eyes. Linda waited for the agony to resume. Everything in the village was stippled aquatint in shades of gray. A patch of wintry sky widened above as Linda dragged her gym-tote, umbrella, and weary, failing body up the steps of the Christopher Street stop at Sheridan Square. As she neared the top steps, she peered out at sidewalk level through the railings. A tow-headed preschooler hip-hopped alongside his baby brother's stroller as a family walked past through the long shadows of early evening. The sleet had become a freezing rain. They ignored it. He had knocked her up and left school at 16 to pump gas. For this was the code, thought Linda. This stringy young mom would always be yesteryear's prom date. Last year, the toddler was in the stroller. They were on their way to the corner bodega for Coke and Twinkies. Linda felt the world tilt and teeter. Apocalypse? Yes, but not now. Her vision blurred as she tried to catch up with the galloping subtitles of her own special movie. Buildings peeled away and 7th Avenue writhed. This was the big one, and happening to me. She dropped her gym tote and rummaged through its pockets. Didn't she have a bottle of Midol somewhere? Acetate shredded and tore. A crevasse zigzagged across the screen to a welling of pink noise from theater speakers. Spooling motors sought equilibrium and ran wild, their logic circuitry sending home a homing signal there was nobody left at home to answer. The film parted and flew off the screen, leaving only a blinding white glare. An uncapped projection lamp brought a Hiroshima sunrise to Greenwich Village. Tornado winds howled, and Midtown, on West 46th Street, the sun stood still above Times Square. The family grouping was returning. Each held a plastic-wrapped glass pint of classic Coke. The young mom steered the stroller, a big brown paper bag full of chips and sugary treats wrapped around the bar under her hands. The young mom's stooped shoulders leaned wearily into a long gray march of duty. I could have been her, thought Linda. It was the year of her own junior prom. She should have gone with the boy, Eddie, but Mom said no. Unprotected, rapturous sex in Eddie's car instead. Eddie was now pumping gas. Linda felt a deep melancholy. To be sucked into oblivion by a cerebral thrombosis equipment failure was so tacky. I wish I'd gotten knocked up in high school. Pregnants didn't have to go to the prom. All those yellow subtitles wasted. And just when I had everything all worked out. Tonight is the night Tom thaws Szechuan dumplings, too. The memory gave Linda a case of the giggles. When he isn't fucking me, Tom is rinsing the rice cooker. He calls his house husbanding. He waters the plants and stares out the window. These were the little things that made up a life. Tom cleaned house. The idea of missing out on Tom's dumplings made her disproportionately cheery at her impending death. Linda was suffused with something akin to a runner's aerobic high. She had found a new religion, and it would not be denied, a faith of joy and, well, faith. She grasped at the nearest railing to steady herself. There was the shadowless Hiroshima sunrise behind her eyes. A stroke. Something cerebral. There'd been sidebars on the TV news. The sleet now carried ice crystals that bit the skin as the driving sideways winds from Jersey picked up. The young parents and their children ran for cover. A freezer bag of Stouffer's broccoli au gratin, a Tom specialty, slid into a pot of boiling water, filled the sky, then faded. 8 years of friendly, non-combative, often passionate marriage, and Tom survived only as a name with no face. Then that, too, was gone. A cobwebby gauze covered her eyes as the world blurred. Her knees and elbows warmed, and dream filaments twined about her feet as she swooned backwards onto a welcoming pile of eiderdown, where she gently bounced in slow motion, again, and again, and again. Linda? Her bouncing took a pause. Yes, that is you. Yes, it's me. And you've been invited to join me for Thesmophoria. Won't that be nice? The voice was Norma Jean LaFay from work. Everything is clove-scented. You noticed? I noticed. So glad you found time to visit. I got your favorite cookies from Gristiti's, the oatmeal stuffed date.
With lemonade?
With lemonade, said the goddess. Linda Winkleman was born the year they invented frozen lemonade. It was the year they added the Bullwinkle balloon to the Macy's parade. This is the end of Chapter 28. The Orange Virgin continues with Chapter 29. Follow the navigation links at www.onetinleg.com, click the Orange Virgin, and pick up with the tale from there. And thanks for listening.